You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi guys, welcome to Full Time Devils. I am Adam Okola, he is Larry Whitwell, and we are here for Talking United with The Athletic, because Larry Whitwell, if you don't know, is from The Athletic, a fantastic site for all your sport news, not just your football news, your NFL, MMA, basketball, tennis, boxing. They have it all covered. Great journalists covering every single sport, every single club as well, like Larry, like Andy Mitten, like the Ornstein they've even got as well. So go and check it out. There's a link in the description below as well. And you can get a 7-day free trial and then 50% off your yearly subscription. So click the link in the description below. It should be flashing on the screen as well, and get on it. But myself and Laurie are here today to talk United. And Laurie is fresh from speaking with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Now, obviously, you're going to be watching this maybe around the time of the Astana game. So we're not going to touch on that too much. But what interested me when we were speaking off camera was you spoke to about Axel and also to Axel today as well in the press conference. And there was a comment this week on Full Time Devils and I agreed with it, but I didn't realise I agreed with it till I heard it. And he said, Mo said in the preview, he believes Axel Tuanzebe will take Lindelof's spot before the year is out. Now, Axel's a very confident man. What kind of impression do you get from the management in terms of Axel?
Yeah, I've heard that said before as well about Lindelof and Tuanzebe. Could they, you know, swap positions? This is the first time I've actually seen him up close, you know, in person. I was impressed with how calm he was, very composed, considering he's 21, you know, sort of cameras on him, you know, European kind of environment, I suppose. Just said what he needed to say, pretty, you know, to the point. You could tell, though, that it meant something to him playing for United. Obviously, he's been at the club since, I think, he was 8. So, clearly, this is where he wants to go. He's in terms of the him and Lindelof thing, I think he's got more pace than Lindelof. Mm. And, obviously, Lindelof's missed a couple of headers this season. So, it's certainly one that I think Solskjaer's looking at, because he's going to start at centre-back against Astana. And he brought him on, obviously, in midfield against Leicester to sort of shore things up. So that shows that he thinks he's got enough intelligence to handle that kind of situation, you know, with 5 minutes to go, make sure you're making the right decision. So, I don't know, I think he definitely wants to watch this season.
Have you had any hints to how highly Solskjaer regards him? Because it felt to me when Solskjaer was speaking in the summer that it was almost a decision he made this summer. Whereas from myself looking out from the out looking in, I thought Axel had to come back this summer. He had to be a part of this squad, and I'm glad that he is. But does Ollie and Mike hold him in that high regard?
I think you have to look at the fact that he's allowed Chris Smalling out to go to Roma. Obviously, Marcus Rojo was available for transfer if they'd got something done. Even Phil Jones, I think, would have been, you know, if they'd got the right club. So he seems to have skipped those three sort of in one summer, given what he did at Aston Villa last season, where he spoke about that today, where, you know, he's getting sort of real men's football. it meant a lot, a huge amount to Aston Villa last season, big fan base, and obviously they ended up being successful. And he mentioned today that they had a conversation in the summer, sat down, so obviously they did need to talk about it and get it, you know, out in the open. What's better for me, go out on loan again or stay with United?
Because Villa would have snapped.
Oh, Villa, Villa. Yeah. Well, he was a, was it the Rotherham game, I think, where Tyrone Mings got sent off quite early on, I think, and it was looking really ropey for Villa, and Twanzebe basically by himself kept that defence together. They ended up winning 2-1, and the dressing room afterwards, they were just singing his name over and over, the players. So.
It's a great chant, is that?
Yeah, yeah, no, I won't try and do it now.
he's a player that has definitely struck us, like when he was coming through around the same time as Timothy Fosu-Mensah, you kind of looked at those two and maybe Andreas Pereira and thought, these are the ones that are going to make the grade now. Obviously, because we've got Mason Greenwood and Tahith Chong and Angel Gomez, and they're coming through and they're younger, everyone's talking about them, and also because they're attacking players. Yeah. You kind of forget about the defenders, but Axel is probably the one academy player that we have that can actually will cement his place in the squad this season if he takes his chances. And it's something to look forward to, and it's something for Lindelof to worry about, I think, as well, which is interesting. Axel's going to get that start against Astana. Hopefully, if you're watching this after the game, he's performed fantastically well and got a clean sheet too. There was also been a lot of talk about Fred this week. Now, I know you're in the process of writing an article about him or where you are in that, but what do you think of Fred at the minute? Do you think he can be... Because I feel like he can be the missing midfielder that we needed, the one that we should have signed. Mm. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I guess people might think a creative midfielder would be, you know, on top of that. So like the Ericsson one, obviously they thought they got close to and he wanted to wait for Real. But if you speak to people from before in his career, he does have that edge to him where he can, you know, be a difference in the final third. I think most of us have looked at him and sort of thought he's a box-to-box guy, defensive, you know, style midfielder, can break play up and kind of pass it, keep it simple. I had my doubts about him last season. I wasn't that impressed by him. I sort of didn't really know what he was there for. But I think you have to look at it in the sense of he was going into a situation with Jose Mourinho as manager where that wasn't stable. You know, the team kept shifting. Mm. His position kept shifting. So whilst obviously, you want the best, he was an expensive player, you think perhaps you could ride through that. Still, you think you've got to give him some allowances. So I was actually really impressed by his cameo against Leicester, the fact that he came on, brought energy. It was a real... sort of astute substitution, I think, by Solskjaer, who has been criticised for not acting quick enough previously or making those changes. It did change the sort of flow of the game, I feel like. So United got more control.
Yeah, I felt like what was important with Fred as well was McTominay had a good game against Leicester, but what he doesn't do great is receive the ball from his defenders and move further forward 30 yards. He isn't amazing at that. He can do it. Same with Matic, very static, very isolated and very slow. And as soon as he came in, because before that, Ashley Young was getting the ball a lot and just hoofing it down the line. But then we had someone that was coming, offering themselves, receiving the ball in the middle. And it's just incredible how little players we have to do that. And we've almost had to struggle with Pogba playing really deep and doing that job. And Fred can actually come in, maybe allow McTominay to just sit there and then Pogba to go further forward. And it gives us the option to play a free midfield as well, which Ali hasn't... Like, he'd done a lot last season, but he hasn't done this season. Is it something that you think he wants to do, that three in midfield?
I don't know if it's something that he wants to, but I think it's something he definitely could explore, because obviously that's where Pogba was at his best for Juventus, of that three, you know, in midfield, left side. So you could have, Fred as that sort of one in the middle, McTominay off to the right, Pogba off to the left, and see how it goes. I totally agree with you. I think against Leicester, he pressed really well, so him and Chong... chased the Leicester defender.
It changed the game, Charlie, as well.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, we're talking about energy, but it was intelligent energy, I think. It wasn't just sort of running around like headless chicken. It was genuinely, right, when can we go? Right, we can go now, press, and then they ultimately won the ball back a couple of times that then just, again, took the pressure away from defence. And yeah, ideally, you wouldn't want to be clinging on to a 1-0 win against Leicester, but I think the situation sort of demanded it. And with Fred in particular, I really do feel like he made a good contribution, which obviously Solskjaer's said previously to this point, the fact that he missed part of the pre-season tour because of his wedding, set him back. Yeah, a bit frustrating.
So annoying. It could have been so much further ahead for us.
That's what it does still boggle the mind that could happen, that you then have a player that you can't use really for, you know, a couple of weeks because he's behind in pre-season training. But I suppose, listen, we're here now.
And like a wedding's one of those things, it's like, an excuse that you know you can kind of get away. It's like when you say, oh, I gotta go to a funeral, or gotta go to, it's like, no one's gonna say, no, you can't get married. Like, they're not gonna, it's just so annoying. I was moaning about it the other day, and a female commenter commented and was like, you do realize it takes ages to organize weddings. And I was like, yes, but he's a footballer on footballer's wages. And he should pay for the fact that he was stupid enough to think he was going to be in the Brazil squad.
Well, there is that. There is that as an underlying point. Weirdly, I hope you forgive me this sort of, you know, personal story, but when Jamie Vardy, before the Euros, so it's the start of the season when they won the title, 2015-16, he said, it's sort of like October time, maybe even earlier than that, he said, listen, we've actually changed the date of our wedding just in case I'm in the England squad. So, I mean, maybe that was presumptuous for him. He was in the squad, to be fair to him, so it worked out. Yeah. But there was only a narrow window of time when he could get married. So I do have some sympathy in the fact that clearly with footballers, there's never going to be, you know, a long summer that you've got to choose from. But I would have thought in this situation, you could have done it better.
Yeah. You've done an interesting article this week with Chris Coleman. I don't want to spoil it for anyone that's, you know, going to read it and wants to know about Chris Coleman's other side of things. But there's a little nugget in there about Manchester United. And I just thought it was an intriguing insight. And I don't know whether you want to share
with
everyone. Or...
Yeah, well, I've tweeted it to be for this little nugget. Okay. So it's fine. Don't worry. He's a great guy, Chris Coleman. He managed Wales, obviously. So he spoke a little bit about Dan James. He was coming through. He brought him into the squad for Serbia away and said he took brilliantly to that. You know, sometimes I can get over up, but he said he didn't. Spoke a little bit about Bale, didn't talk to me about Bale and potentially United, but he sort of said that he still thinks very much so that he can produce for a big club, doesn't have to go to China. But the one nugget he gave me was that when he was Fulham manager, like all those years ago, he sold Sahar and Van der Sar to United.
Yeah, Sahar was mint.
Yeah, so he told me that they got 13 million for Sahar and only got 500 grand to actually reinvest in the team because they had to put 12 million on the cottage because they had to renovate it for the Premier League. But he kept him up for three seasons, mid-table. But he said, I think in 2006, he saw Nemanja Vidic for Red Star and thought, I'm having him. He's my guy. He spoke to the agent. Mohamed Al-Fayed was on board with it. Said, you know, here's the money for it. But United were already in there with him. And he knew Jim Lawler, who's the chief scout at United, still is, through pro licence in Belfast. They both did their pro licence together. So he was calling up Jim and saying, listen, Jim, he's not ready for you. Let him come to Fulham. Let him learn his trade in England. Couple of seasons, he'll do well for us. Then he can go to you. And Jim's like, no, he's coming to us now.
I bet after that Man City game, Chris Coleman's on, I told you should have sent him for it. Because I remember after that Man City game, I think, Sean Goulter scored, and I remember just thinking, Jesus. But yeah, I could just remember Pizza Hut on those shirts, weirdly enough.
I'm going to go.
But Luis Saar, I thought, was a great signing from Fulham. It was just a shame he had glass knees, because he always looked like Rooney's best partner, I thought. Him and Rooney really were fantastic. So I know Rooney did well with other players, but they seemed to have something going, and it was just a shame that didn't happen. So going back to the Europa League, now I don't want to go over it too much because people might have already seen the game, but generally speaking, do we get an idea, or have you got an idea of how seriously Ali's taking this? Because we saw with Jose, yes, we won it and we had a great time in Stockholm, but it derailed our league campaign. And I feel like this time around, our league campaign may be more important. Or is it like...
I certainly think to begin with, the Premier League's the priority. They obviously need to stay in that, you know, race for fourth, just so that in January perhaps they can tell players, listen, you know, we're going to be a Champions League club next season. But obviously the Europa League presents a great opportunity to get back into the Champions League as well. Solskjaer was sort of saying that he will give youth and fringe players a chance. I just think you have to, when you've got that many players, you need to give them game time, keep them fresh, give them just that sort of carrot, I suppose, to play football and make an impression with him. But he basically said today that he will treat each match on an individual basis. So, you know, say they've got, you know, a big match afterwards or a big match before it, he might rest a few players. But if you know, it's a more difficult Europa League match, he might put the big players in that and he needs to win. So I do think he'll mix and match. It's not set in stone, basically, is what he said, in terms of playing the kids or playing the fringe players. So I just think it's a great
opportunity.
Kind
of got no choice, though, as well, right? Because... To rotate.
Yeah.
Because we've got such a thin squad that we can't actually just... Because if we rush, I don't know, players back from injuries and we start playing Pogba, Marshall, Rashford every game, eventually it's going to take a knock-on effect on our league campaign. And You even just look at this, the turnover between Astana and West Ham. 2 days in between, one of those they won't be training. I don't know if they train a day before games, probably won't be as hard. So you're not going to really get any training in there. And then you're straight into another game and just worried how that affects things during the season. That game against West Ham's a big one as well. Pretty tricky game, especially with the way Pellegrini's going.
Yeah, they played pretty well, I think, against Villa. I know they were down to 10 men, but by all accounts...
It was a decent 0-0. Yeah. It wasn't a horrible 0-0, but they had chances where they probably could have nicked it as well, so...
Remember last season at West Ham?
We lost... Was it 2 or 3-1?
I think it was 3-1, and it was like a weird team that Jose put out. One of those that you just
It was around
thought,
the dark times, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember being outside... the Olympic Stadium, it was quite sunny that day as well, wasn't it, Nick?
Yes.
My mood wasn't. It was really sad. Oh, God, don't bring me back to them days. Hopefully we beat them this weekend because we do need 3 points. Yeah. And it's very fragile at the moment, isn't it? The whole mood around the club. You win a game, everyone's happy, and then you lose a game and it's down in the dumps again. But with this squad, we have to be expecting inconsistencies, right?
I think that's what you have to allow for because... We've had six seasons of United paying big money for players that do they necessarily fit with the particular plan? It sort of seems scattergun. Whereas at least with this, you look at Maguire, Wan-Bissaka and James, there's clearly an idea behind that. Players on upward curves that clearly playing for United will be the biggest stage of their careers. But obviously giving youth a chance, Transabe, Greenwood.
And Manchester United, whilst we've had a great academy over the years, we've also been known for taking the best talent from around Britain as well. Mm. Like when we were scouting for Georgie Best and even David Beckham from London. Yeah, we didn't just get the best players from in and around Manchester. We got the best from Duncan Edwards was from Dudley, for God's sake. So it's like, that's what we're going back to as well in that sense, like grabbing the best younger players from around England, which is interesting. But again, you look at Declan Rice. I don't know if you've seen the trouble I got myself into on Twitter about Declan Rice and all that stuff, but 90 million, you hear some of the talk.
Oh, right, that's a lot of money. I don't know if they go that far. I mean, you look at, they bought Maguire for 80 million, but that's a guy that's, you know, proven season after season.
Is the interest in Declan Rice real?
I think so, yeah. Madison as well.
I hope that's real.
Yeah, I think they're both genuine, because you can just see, but I don't think, what I've liked about United this summer is that they have walked away from deals where they thought it's too much, Sean Longstaff, or they sense that the player didn't want to come to them, you know, Paulo Dybala. So, and I quite like that. So therefore, you will get these inconsistencies in performance. But I think ultimately you can see where Solskjaer would like the team to go. So you kind of have to allow for that.
He needs another big window. And I don't mean a January window. Yeah,
absolutely does.
Makes it or not.
I think he knows that. He knows that, you know, he can't rely on these players, you know, to all do brilliantly. He's going to give them a chance, but you need ready-made, you know, stars that are right, you know, at crucial junctures.
Anything else popping up in The Athletic that we need to keep an eye on? There's a few boxing articles I enjoyed this week as well.
Yeah.
I'm getting on them as well, not just the football stuff. Well, I get fed up talking about football sometimes, so sometimes I just want to dive into
something. Yeah, the American side is great. I mean, I dip into the NFL sometimes or baseball.
I've not got to grips with the NFL yet. I watch, like, the Super Bowl when it's on or have a little look, and I like the jerseys. I like buying notes.
Yeah.
But I don't have a clue what's going on. I went to a few games last year as well, so that probably doesn't sound great. I was just sat there not knowing what's happening.
Give it a go. I lived in America for a while, and I was actually in hospital. I probably don't know why I'm telling you this, but I was in hospital for a few weeks actually, and they had college football on, so I just had to get used to it, and I really loved it once I understood it and got used to it. And, you know, obviously the pause in play is different to what we're used to with the football, but it's very tactical, and you can see game plans and you know, people putting set plays into play. So I really liked it. I think when you read the writing on The Athletic, that sort of that brings it home a little bit more.
Yeah, I'll check out the NFL stuff. But yeah, check it out. MMA is covered, boxing's covered, NFL, football, all your favourite football teams, transfer news and specials as well. Like we said, the interview with Chris Coleman and things like that. So make sure you're checking it out. As I said, the link's in the description below. You get your week free trial and then you get 50% off a yearly subscription with The Athletic. Link is on the screen and in the description below. So go and check that out. Also, if you have any questions for myself and Laurie, then we may be back next week. It's definitely going to be back talking United with The Athletic, whether it's Laurie or another Face from The Athletic. Get a question or two in for us in the comments below as well, and we'll try to answer as many as possible next week. Laurie, anything you want to add before we shoot?
Just thanks. Thanks for having me. Good chat.
Thanks for coming. And at Laurie Whitwell on Twitter as well. Check that out. And for now, guys, I've been Adam. He's been Laurie. We're out of here. Podcast Network.